I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Listen, before we do anything else today, let us all stand and tell Pastor Bingham, happy birthday. Pastor Bingham is 88. You can have your seat. Pastor Bingham is 88 years old today. 88 years young. He is still sharp. As you can see, he stayed dressed sharp. I even put on a tie today because I ain't want Pastor Bingham outdoing me today. So we are thankful for his life. We're thankful for his legacy. We're thankful for the path that he has paved and the foundation that he has laid. Pastor Bingham is a pillar of a pastor. And as long as I'm here, we're going to celebrate Pastor Bingham. However, we come to worship today. We come to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Listen, there may be somebody sitting next to you that you've never seen before. Look them in their face and tell them how happy you are. How happy you are to see them. The truth of the matter is, these just your cousins from another city. Your brothers and sisters from another city. They love Jesus too. As we move on, I'm going to ask Minister Rodney Hayes to come and read us a passage of scripture. And followed by Minister Hayes, I'm going to ask Reverend Wyland Parks to come and pray, and then we'll move forward.
If you have your Bible, I ask that you turn to 2 Kings, the second chapter, the 9th through the 14th verse. And if you're able to stand, I ask that you stand in reverence to the word. And it reads as follows. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord remains forever.
Our Father and our God, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts, thanking you for this morning's rising, this morning how you took great care of us. And for that, God, we're grateful. We're grateful, God, to be able to assemble in this congregation and worship your holy name. We thank you for traveling grace. We thank you for your grace and your mercy this morning, God. Father God, we just ask now that you would have your way in this place. We thank you for Dr. Bingham, God, and the service that he has rendered for the kingdom. Lord God, we ask now that you would be with this new servant, Pastor Hayes, God. And Lord God, we just ask that you would have your way in this place. Master, you've been good to us. You've been mighty good to us. And for that, we simply want to say thank you. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you. your desires revealed in me.
Morning, church. It's now time to worship in our tithes and offerings. We just talked about giving ourselves away. Now let's give some money away. So. All right. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. We thank you for just allowing us, Lord, to be in your house one more time to come and worship you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this special occasion, for this day, dear Lord, and all that will take place. And Lord, we just, now we just come, Lord, just worship you in our tithes and offerings, Lord. We just pray that it'll be used to uplift your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, you bless those that have it to give and bless those that have it not. And we ask this in your Son, Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Good morning. Reverend Lincoln Bingham is a man respected for his love for Christ and people. His heart's desire is for all people to receive salvation and become all that Christ would have them to become. For over 50 years, he has served in Christian ministry, preaching and teaching the gospel while applying biblical principles to his daily life. He leads by precept and example. God saved Lincoln at the age of 9 during a revival service in Cerulean, Kentucky. Nurtured by his parents, William and Nora Bingham, his faith grew. God later called him to preach in 1959. He was ordained at Elam Baptist Church under the pastorate of Reverend W.F. Fisher. September 30th, 1960, it was soon revealed that he had a huge heart for ministry. God, knowing that Lincoln would need a special helpmate, had already joined the hearts and hands of Lillian Thomas Bingham in holy matrimony in 1951. They had two children, Ava and Michael, whom they loved dearly. For over 50 years of his ministry, Lillian has been Lincoln's loving and devoted wife, prayer warrior, confidant, and co-laborer. They were commissioned as home ministers in North American Missionary Board in 1976. Reverend Bingham has been the pastor at four churches: Unity Baptist in Mercer County, West End Baptist Church, St. Paul Baptist Church, and St. Paul Baptist Church at Shively Heights in Louisville, Kentucky. He has also served as an interim pastor for Macy Zion Baptist Church. At the time that he was called to serve in each of these congregations, God was leading Lincoln to reconciliation ministry. As Reverend Bingham was using his God-given gifts of leadership, preaching, teaching, and counseling, Lillian was using her gifts of discernment, faith, and support, as well as her compassion and talent in the children's choir ministry and congressional music leadership. Reverend Bingham has faithfully shared the gospel of Christ in Louisville, the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and beyond. As superintendent of the missions for the General Association of Baptists in Kentucky, he worked to strengthen the educational and missions arms of the association and worked to build bridges between the General Association of Baptists and the Kentucky Baptist Convention. He served for 16 years as the superintendent of missions for the Kentucky District Baptist Association in Louisville, Kentucky. He faithfully served the Kentucky Baptist Association for 35 years, first as the director of the Baptist Fellowship Center, then the Cooperative Ministries Consulant. During Reverend Bingham's tenure in both the association and convention, he has led both in progress of the social and spiritual growth and development. He has chaired a Tony Evans Crusade and provided leadership with the Billy Graham Crusade in Louisville and Cincinnati. Additionally, he has co-chaired the Greater Louisville Christian Reconciliation Ministries, Inc. He has served as steering committee member of the Reconciliation Networks of Our World. On August 23rd, 2009, he led God to do so. Reverend Bingham and Reverend Mark Payton led St. Paul Baptist Church and Shively Heights Baptist Church to merge in one congregation, which made a local and national news networks such as CBS, NBC, ABC, WDRB, Good Morning America, 700 Club, CBN, and others. Reverend Bingham has been awarded honorary doctorate of divinity degrees in the Simpson's College of Georgetown College and Mid-Content College. He is recipient of numerous awards.
Let us praise God again for Pastor and Sister Lincoln Bingham. I want to take some time right now to introduce the preacher of the hour. He is indeed a preacher. Not only is he a preacher, but he is a friend. For the last 18 years, I've been able to call him, and he's answered. He didn't always say what I wanted him to say, but he usually says what needs to be said. When I met him, it was said that he was one of the top five preachers under the age of 25 in the nation. And by the time he was 30, they were saying he was one of the top three preachers in the nation under the age of 30. Now he's an old man, and he's just one of the best preachers in the nation. Pastor Romel Williams, the proud pastor of the Lilydale Progressive Baptist Church of Chicago, is not just a preacher, but a teacher of preachers. And I have the privilege of him being a prayer partner to me. 8:15 every Sunday morning, I have to rework my sermon because I get on the phone with Romel and I have to fix what I didn't get right so I can give it to you all right. So after the choir just gives us one more quick selection, the next voice that you will hear is that of Pastor Romel Williams. Pray for him as he prepares to preach the gospel.
every head bowed, every eye closed. God of grace and God of glory, we do praise and magnify your name. Lord, I thank you for yet another opportunity to stand before your presence, to preach your word to your people. I pray now, Father, that you would not allow me to speak as a mere man, but rather as an oracle of Christ. Use these lips of clay to speak a word of hope to the sinner, to speak a word of healing to the sick, and to speak a word of help to the saints. Oh God, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me anew and anoint me afresh. Hide me behind your cross so that you and you alone might be glorified. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, it's in the powerful and perfect name of Jesus that we pray. Thank God. Amen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Is there anybody in St. Paul that is thankful to the Lord for this day? What a wonderful occasion this is. A double celebration. Amen. We praise God for 88 years of life for Dr. Bingham. We praise God for having smiled on this local congregation and having given you another pastor in the person of Derek Hayes. Amen. Come on, let's praise God for that. Today, I am excited and thankful to just be a part of this history-making moment during Black History Month. Amen. Derek Hayes is a unique gift to the body of Christ. I am thankful for the friendship and the brotherhood that we have shared over these 18 years. He's done a whole lot more for me than I could ever do for him. Your pastor is responsible for introducing me to my wife. Amen. Amen. I stumbled into New Zion trying to fulfill another ministry assignment, but I saw this pretty little girl. And it looked like it was a light shining on her. I went to asking questions, and the closest person to me was Derek. I said, "Man, who is that?" He proceeded to tell me, and me and the Lord did the rest. Amen. Praise God for Dr. K. Edward Copeland, who is present here. For all of these preachers that share with me both the burden and blessing of preaching. I do not take these moments lightly. He doesn't get another installation Sunday. Tragically, preachers like amens more than they like impact. And so you'll have occasions like this when the preacher comes and tries to preach to the people instead of preaching to the preacher. Amen. I am here on assignment to talk to my friend. God's word is so powerful, so relevant, that as I share what God has told me to say to Pastor Hayes, God will speak to each of us as we consider these things together. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and
And I want to lift up today verses 8 through 13 for our consideration. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13 for our consideration. Please stand with me if you are able-bodied for the reading of the Word of God. Please stand with me. Here's what it says. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Once again, in your hearing for emphasis, verse number 8 says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I want to label the message this morning, don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. Nearly 20 years ago, as I sat in the basement of the Rock of Ages Baptist Church there in Maywood, Illinois, I heard one of the saddest personal testimonies that I've ever experienced. Reverend Gordon McLean told me his life story. He was the only child of a deceased father and an ailing mother. We sat there in the fellowship hall as he fought back tears, and he told me that his mother had a unique strain of Alzheimer's disease, that she was being cared for in a local nursing facility, but that every time he went to visit her, he had to be reintroduced to her because she had not recognized him as her son in almost 15 years. A disease so debilitating that it had erased the face of an only son from the memory of his mother. And as disturbing as this story is, it pales in comparison to the spiritual Alzheimer's that plagues many so-called Christians. Consequently, our relationships are suffering with God and others because we too have lost sight of the Son. Oh yes, brothers. Oh yes, sisters. It is an unfortunate reality of the human predicament that we forget what we need to remember, and we remember what we need to forget. Our memories often revolve around what others have done to us when they need to be centered on what God has done for us. We remember tragedies more frequently than victories. We remember failures with greater intensities than successes. We remember the scenery in our valleys with greater detail than the perspective of our mountaintops. Preachers, if we're not careful, we will remember more vividly the frowns of our opponents than we do the smiles of our supporters. Church, if we're not careful and deliberate, we will remember the conversations of our critics more than the words of our God. This issue of remembering was on Paul's mind as he wrote his second letter to Timothy. Immediately after greeting him, he urges Timothy to remember the faith of their forefathers. He urges Timothy to remember their close personal relationship. He urges Timothy to remember his spiritual heritage from his grandmother and his mother. He urges Timothy to remember to stir up the gift that is within him, that was communicated and affirmed as Paul laid his hands on him. And then he urges him to remember to follow the pattern of sound words. Remember. 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 Memory has a ministry. And Timothy will need it if he's going to go the distance in Christian service. So as Paul continues challenging Timothy to cultivate a character that endures suffering, he now demands that he remember Jesus. This hidden gem calls to bear the full weight of the gospel and the faithfulness of God as the driving forces to keep us going when times get hard. I want to briefly examine these pointed words from Paul to Timothy because I believe that a careful consideration and personal application of these truths is exactly what pastor and people will need in days to come. This text teaches all who will listen that the reality of suffering in ministry demands that we remember in order to endure. I like the way that sounds. I want to play it for you again. The reality of suffering in ministry demands that we remember in order to endure. I want to make sure you got this. Here's what Paul says. He says, listen, I'm not going to beat around the bush. This is going to hurt. He says, Timothy, the gospel involves suffering, but it also overcome suffering. On the one hand, there's some suffering in the equation. On the other hand, what causes trouble will get you out of trouble. So the question on the table today that I want to ask and answer as swiftly as possible is simply this: what must we remember not to forget? Note, first of all, that you've got to remember to keep looking back to Jesus. That's verses 8 and 9. You got to remember to keep looking back to Jesus. Hear me today, Pastor Hayes. We must remember Jesus and his victory over death after suffering as the chief motivation for our endurance in ministry. Let me work on it. Paul, after commanding Timothy to suffer in the previous section with principles and pictures, now arrives at the meat of the matter. He says, young man, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. This is critical because as we go through the motions and miseries of ministry, it is easy to forget what and who it's really all about. He tells him to remember Jesus Christ. This speaks to the Lord's humanity, his victory, and his messianic genealogy. Here Paul lifts up the master as a picture of divine victory after presumed human defeat. He wants Timothy to understand that the suffering of Jesus, which led to the exaltation of Jesus, was all a part of God's plan for Jesus. This, friends, is a necessary mile marker for each of us on the journey of Christian endurance. It doesn't matter how far we've had to travel, how much we've been through, or how badly we've been hurt. If we can remember Jesus, we can be met with God's power to keep us according to what he already planned. Somebody missed it. That your suffering is scheduled, but so is your survival. Because as Paul goes on to say, the gospel is summarized in these two facts. Jesus was raised and he does reign as the Messiah of Davidic promise. Don't miss Paul's rationale. Paul says, David suffered. Then he reigned. Jesus suffered. Now he reigns. You must suffer in order to reign with him one day. This is Paul's bottom line summary of the gospel he preaches, and it's the reason he too is suffering like a common criminal. But here's the good part. Paul says, the word of God is not bound. Paul is clear. I've been chained over the truth, but the truth can't be handcuffed. God is so faithful that even if you incarcerate the preacher, the message will still break free. Let me help you see it. Watchman Nee was a Chinese church leader and a Christian author who helped to evangelize China during the first half of the last century. Following the Communist Revolution, he was arrested for his faith in 1952, and he would spend the last 20 years of his life incarcerated. He died on May 30th, 1972. When his niece went to the prison to gather his things, she received a note which one of the prison guards had found on his bed. It said this: Christ is the Son of God. who died for the redemption of sinners and was resurrected after 3 days. This is the greatest truth in the universe. I die because of my belief in Christ. Even on his deathbed, Nee had his mind on Jesus. Not on his impending death or his unjust imprisonment. Suffering becomes more bearable when you filter it through the lens of the cross. Look to Jesus for motivation. That's all I'm trying to tell you today, that when it gets hard, when you in your office by yourself and you got to pray and cry, remember Jesus. Remember his pain. Remember his shame. Remember his abandonment. Remember his cross. Remember his death, but remember his resurrection. Remember that suffering was just a piece of the story, but not all of the story. He says, remember to keep looking back at Jesus. Andre Crouch called it like this: always remember. Always remember Jesus. Jesus, always keep him on your mind. And not only do we need to keep looking back at Jesus, but then we need to remember to keep looking around at the faithful. That's verse number 10. We must remember faithful Christians who have endured pain in order to promote God's glory. Now it is as if Paul lowers the camera lens from the sky to his own place of confinement. He says, young man, remember Jesus, but also remember me. I'm standing under the heavy load of suffering, and I'm not doing it for myself. I know I sound crazy telling you to do what got me put in jail, but I'm not. Son, there's something more at stake than your comfort and your desires. I therefore endure it all for the sake of God's elect, that they also may obtain the eternal glory that is available in Christ. Jesus suffered to save the church. Now, Timothy, I suffer to serve the church. It's not optional. It's necessary. It's not unique. It's universal. It's not just probable, is guaranteed. So Tim, as you suffer, remember there's a bigger picture. There are people you don't know with faces you've never seen and voices you've never heard that will be impacted by what you're called to endure for the gospel's sake. This is a call to sacrificial service for the sake of others. He says, your suffering is time limited, but the glory it will produce for those in Christ is eternal. So square your shoulders, raise your chin, and endure what God has called you to, because you're God's man on God's mission. I'm glad today that I had my own pa. My beloved grandfather was a native of Alabama who migrated to Chicago. He was called into ministry against his will. He suffered extensively to build God a church. He was a bivocational pastor who drove a taxi by day and led a congregation by night. He preached for 7 years with one suit, one shirt, one pair of shoes. He raised 7 children, frequently having to live above the storefronts where the church would meet. He didn't have much, but he gave God all that he had. And in my moments of ministry frustration and pastoral difficulty, I remember how he endured, and I am inspired that I can too. I want to tell you today, Derek, you got to remember the faithful models that God has platformed around you. Remember Claiborne Salter. Remember Walter Hayes. Remember K. Edward Copeland. Remember Lincoln Bingham. When days are dark, look around for inspiration. Brothers and sisters, we've got to look to the heroes of scripture and to the heroes of history and even to the heroes of today to find inspiration in the face of suffering. He says, remember to keep looking back at Jesus. Remember to keep looking around at the faithful. Then he says, finally, remember to keep looking forward to the promises of God. That's verses 11 through 13. We must remember God's promises about how he will respond to us based on his faithfulness, not ours. Finally, Paul brings this section to a lofty crescendo by inserting a hymn that restates his emphasis poetically. This is one of 5 trustworthy sayings recorded in the pastoral epistles. It's promissory poetry in just 4 lines. These are contrasting couplets that underscore what God will do in response to what we have done. The first deals with present life and eternal future. The second deals with human failings and divine responses. Look at the couplets. Here we are comforted by the reality that if we die for him, we will live with him. And watch it now. If we endure suffering for him, there it is, we will reign with him. But then we are warned that if we ultimately deny him, he will ultimately deny us. These words mirror what the master said in Matthew 10 and 33 when he said, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Finally, we are told that our temporary faithlessness can't alter God's unchanging faithfulness. This is exceptional comfort for all who will attempt to persevere for the sake of the gospel. Even though we sometimes waver and slip into unfaithfulness in our efforts to serve, God stays faithful. You're looking at me funny, but just let me read the record clear. No one in this room is always faithful. In fact, no one in this world is always faithful. No one is always faithful but Jesus. In the glory of the gospel, it is the faithfulness of Jesus that enables God the Father to be unwavering in his commitment to sinners like us. The point of this quotation is that Christians should continue to endure hardship and remain faithful to the Lord in view of what Jesus has done and what he will do. So he says, look back for motivation. Look around for inspiration, but then look forward for confirmation. You got to be encouraged, because trouble will come, but it won't last. You got to be encouraged because God is keeping score. You got to be encouraged because even when you fail him, he won't forsake you. Don't forget to remember. Remember Jesus. He was victorious after his suffering. Remember faithful Christians. God helped them endure what you must go through. Remember God's promise to keep us when we can't keep ourselves. I close today when I tell you that I am a movie buff. I like movies that are based on true stories. Copeland, one of my favorite movies is this movie starring Cuba Gooding Jr. and Robert De Niro, entitled Men of Honor. Maybe you've seen it. If you haven't, you need to check it out. It's the true story of a man named Carl Brashear. He was an enthusiastic dreamer and the son of a hardworking and honest Kentucky sharecropper. He decided to enlist in the recently desegregated United States Navy in 1948, determined to become the first African-American master diver. The ambitious and driven Carl Brashear let nothing stand between him and his aspiration. Not even an ever-present racist Navy. And his veteran trainer, Master Chief Billy Sunday. He was undereducated, yet he was determined to succeed despite the towering obstacles thrown in his way. Eventually, Carl would undoubtedly prove his worth, and he finally reached his goal. In the face of insurmountable odds, he was kept fervent by a gift, Derek, given to him from his father. When he got ready to leave for the Navy, it was a handmade transistor radio. It was made from wood, wires, and a battery, and it had all of these metal coils on it. And on the back of this parting gift, his father inscribed these letters, A-S-N. F. A. S. N. F. While he was going through, he'd look at the radio, read those letters on the back of the radio, and determine that he wasn't going to drop out of the program. He was going to keep fighting his way through. A. S. N. F. A son never forgets. Church, can I tell you today that God's children never forget God's son? I've got good news on my way to my seat that if you remember Jesus, he will return the favor. Good morning, St. Paul. May the Lord bless you real good. But I've stopped by long enough to tell somebody that you need never forget to remember. I close with the words of the songwriter that said, when on the cross of Calvary,
the Lord was crucified. The mob stood round about him and mocked him till he died. Two thieves were nailed beside him to share the agony, but one of them cried out to him, "Oh Lord, remember me." Oh, what a shame to kill him there on that rugged cross. But such a death was needed to rescue all the lost. His blood was made a ransom to set the captives free. I know that I'm included. He will remember me. Will the Lord remember me? When I am called to go, when I've crossed death's chilly sea, will he his love there show? Oh, yes, he heard my feeble cry. From bondage, he set me free. And when I reach the pearly gates, he will, he will, he will remember me.
Would you rest on your feet all over the room? Come on, let's give God praise for his word. Come on, you can do better than that. I said, let's give God praise for his word. We want to pause now before we move on in worship and celebration to give invitation to someone who may be here today, who's never trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The truth of the matter is, before you can embrace the challenge of the sermon to remember Jesus Christ, you have to get into relationship with Jesus Christ. How many of you know you can't forget someone you've never met for yourself? And so before you can remember Jesus, you've got to get to know Jesus. He stands before you today, my brother, my sister, whoever you are, wherever you are. If you've never trusted him, he stands with wide open arms, ready to forgive your sins, to call you his own, and to grant you the promise of eternity with him. If you will suffer with him down here, he's promised you'll reign with him up there. But first, you got to get to know him. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, my brother, my sister, won't you come? God bless you, my brother. Will there be another to trust him? Come on, saints, we ought to be praying. This is an important time. If you've never trusted Jesus, my brother, my sister, won't you come? God bless you, sister. Will there be another? He stands before you today with wide open arms. Maybe you're here today, you say, "Preacher, I'm saved." You're in Christ, but you're out of church. If you need a church home, the St. Paul Baptist Church of Shively Heights is a great place for you to worship the Lord, for you to learn his word, for you to fellowship with his people, and to serve him in ministry. If you need a church home, or if you just want prayer, my brother, my sister, won't you come? We offer Christ to you. New life. If you need to take a step of faith, won't you come? We thank the Lord for these that have come. Come on, let's give God praise again. Join me for a word of prayer. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this celebration and this great occasion. We thank you for the challenge to remember, not to forget, to remember Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for those that have come. We pray for those who should have come but didn't, asking that you continue to push them with your mercy and draw them with your grace. Lord, we thank you for Pastor Williams. We thank you again for this joining together of pastor and people. We pray now, God, that you'd continue to have your way in us, through us, and among us. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen.
So we're thankful that we serve a God that holds fast to his promise to add to the church. So we thank God that he's adding to this church. There are two who have come by letter, but then there's one who just prayed to receive Christ. I'm not sure if you heard me. So we're praying this year that God adds 50 more souls, not just to the church, but to the kingdom through this body of believers. And he's been showing himself faithful week after week. Listen, let us bless God for the message and for the minister. I told you. I told you that Romel Williams works for Jesus. I told him I just got this pulpit and don't tear up my stuff before I get to preach behind it. So we thank God. I want to make sure that all of you all know that we've prepared a meal, and in between services, the next service starts at 3:30, but we've prepared a meal, and we're going to go down to the gym, and we're going to celebrate the birthday of Pastor Bingham. And then at 3:30, we'll be back here in the sanctuary to celebrate God for bringing together pastor and people. Pastor Bingham, do you have anything before we dismiss? All right. Reverend Bates, would you come and give us our final benediction? I am thankful for godly friends. I'm thankful that many of my friends have got on airplanes and came across the highways, friends and family members, to celebrate with us. So here's one of my dear friends, Reverend Giovanni Bates.
Let us stand and receive the Lord's benediction. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for blessing our hearts. Now we ask that you allow us to tuck it away like a pearl in our heart and take it outside the doors of this church. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his throne with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and evermore. Let the church say, amen.
Just one more quick announcement. There'll be a microphone downstairs for those who weren't able to give tributes to Pastor Bingham on Thursday night. You can do so during this celebration of Pastor Bingham right now between services. So let's make our way to the gym. I believe the food is ready. Let's make sure our guests and the Bingham family eats first.